I don't know about you, but sometimes moving is actually, it's a new adventure. And we, about 4 years ago, moved to North London. And when we moved to North London, you up sticks and you move to new schools, new clubs, new societies, new church, the whole lot. And when we were there, we got to know some people. School is often one of those great places where you get to know some of the parents, drop off your children. And Caleb, who is now... He's now 12 because his birthday was last week. But he was in a class, and there was a bunch of other lads about his age that got on really well. We spent some time together, and over the birthday parties, they'd meet and get to know each other. And parents, you get to know the other parents, don't you? You get to know them, and you often ask, you know, what's your job, and do you go to church, and that kind of stuff. Well, we started doing adventures together. We would go build lean-tos in the woods around the back of the college. In the afternoon, you'd come and put the sticks out, you'd whittle them down, we'd put them there, we'd make them waterproof, and we would hang out for the night. We would sleep out in the open. And sometimes it rained, and sometimes it didn't. We had a great time, and got to know these young lads and their dads who would come and sleep over for the night. I want to tell you about one... family. There's a lad called Jake, and Jake was one of Caleb's friends. He would come in all the combat gear, great lad, full of enthusiasm, struggled with staying throughout the night, but anyway, he would come, and it was great. We'd get to know his dad, called Hugh. So Hugh, Jake's dad, because you generally were known as so-and-so's dad or so-and-so's dad, but he was a plumber. There's a photo just up here. He was a plumber, and he would work. And he's got one of those vans that basically announces he's a plumber all over, you know, as you drive in, this, that, and the other. He'd park it in the most strategic place, so you would clearly know he was there and available and always ready to serve you if ever you needed it. So this is Jake's dad. He was a plumber, great guy. Got to know his wife as well a little bit. As you do. And then a year ago, we went back to do another sleep out in the college grounds. But we're told that Jake's dad wasn't going to come. You still haven't got a photograph. We have got a photograph. Here you go. And we were told that Jake's dad wasn't going to be there this year. Because Jake's dad was in prison. Hang on. What's... Well, his name's Jake Doyle. And if you've been reading the news, next slide, he's just with the Hatton Garden gang, is the man on the bottom right-hand corner. Now, there's a second half to the story, but don't you ask those questions. Do you really know someone? And there were surprises in all of us, aren't there? Well, as we look at this passage, I think the people are saying, we know Jesus. But I think he's got a few surprises up his sleeve. Let's look at our Bible passage. We'll come back to Jake a little later on. Hugh later on. In the passage that we were reading, we've got this picture of who Jesus is. Do you remember last week we looked? This is the Jesus who somehow got authority from where we didn't expect him to. He'd not been to rabbinical school. They'd challenged him. What kind of authority do you speak on behalf of? And he replied, my father, well done. He says, my father, I will testify and my father will testify that I have the authority to speak in this way. My father has taught me. And so we're going to move on. We've had that challenge of where does his authority come from? Now we're going to ask about his origins. Especially because this question of who the Messiah is going to keep cropping up. But not just his origins, we're also going to look at his destination today. You see, people knew this is Jesus. He's the carpenter's son. This is Jesus of Nazareth. This is Jesus of Galilee. He kind of hung around that part of the world. This is Jesus, the miracle worker. This is Jesus who we're having a bit of a problem with. Because some of us think he's the Messiah and some of us don't. This is the Jesus that we're going to investigate today. We've been watching throughout John's Gospel, trying to grapple, as John has been encouraging us to do, who is this Jesus? Time and time again, we've come across a way in which the physical opens our eyes to the spiritual. If you've been doing the Lent course at the minute, I hope you've seen that. The physical breaking of the bread and feeding the 5,000 points to his revelation as the bread of life. As he time and time again claims, "I am," we see the physical resurrection leading to, "I am the resurrection." How much greater is Jesus than we at first glimpsed? Well, this week, as we go into this next section, we're going to see that they need to grasp a little more. Look with me at verse 25. "Now, some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, 'Is not this the man who they were trying to kill? And there he is, speaking openly, but they say nothing to him. Can this be that the authorities really have given in, as it were?'" Look, they're not saying a word. He clearly has claimed to be the Messiah, and goodness me, all the evidence seems to point as such. And yet, we know that they're angry, we know that they're plotting and planning and stuff, we know that they're unhappy, but they're quiet at the moment. Have they given in? Have they given in that this is the Christ, the Messiah? Have they conceded? But they carry on and say, "But part of the puzzle doesn't fit." Read on with me. "Yet we know," verse 27, "we know where this man is from. But when the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from." It's humbling when you're in the playground. Basically, you don't get known by your name, you get known by the son or the child that you've taken to school and back again. In the same way that Jesus was being known, well, he's that lad that we've known for years. We've heard stories about him, but he's from Galilee. He's the carpenter's son. He's from Nazareth. He's from Bethlehem. We know his origins. And if the Messiah's going to come, surely the Messiah's going to come in amazing glory. Surely he's going to come as the Ancient of Days. Surely this one, as we heard of in Daniel, this one's to come. And we know him. We know where he's come from. Jesus helpfully responds. He says, "You know me?" I wonder whether there should be a question mark there. Some of the translations have a question mark. But the question is, as you follow this next section, he's going, "You know me? Well, you know me a bit. But actually, let me help you see how much greater I am." And it's not actually about where I was born, to be honest with you. What's more important is where I am from, or from whom have I come. "We know where the man is from, but when the Messiah comes, no one will know him." Then Jesus cried out as he was teaching in the temple, "You know me and you know where I'm from? Well, I've not come on my own, but the one who sent me is true." He shifts their question. Don't worry about where I was born. Don't be worrying about those things. Actually, be worried about who sent me. And then the damning indictment comes next. He says, "The one who sent me, you don't know." Well, this is off the back of last week. And last week we learned that the authority of Jesus comes from his Father. At which point you then get, well, the Father sent the Son. And he's saying, "You do not know the Father." How would that make the Jewish leaders and the teachers of the day feel? This man has yet stuck another dagger in and is twisting it. We're supposed to represent God. We're supposed to be his mouthpiece to Israel. And this man, Jesus, says we don't know him as well as we should do. And ultimately, we don't know God, the Father. Well, it's no surprise that shortly after this, they continue their plotting and their planning. But because we know John, we know that this is exactly what Jesus wanted. Verse 30, "Then they tried to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. Yet many in the crowd believed in him and were saying, when the Messiah comes, will he do any more signs than this has done? Hallelujah. They're going, look, we know the Messiah is to come. We know the Messiah will do amazing things. Jesus has come and has done amazing things. Surely the Messiah comes. He's not going to do any more than Jesus is doing at the moment. Isn't this the Jesus who is the Messiah? And you can see what they're thinking. You can understand. They're trying to put the puzzle together. Surely he is. And John, we know these things were written so that you may, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have. You're going to learn that memory verse, even if it kills me. But can you see? That's what's happening here, isn't it? They're believing. They're having life in his name. They're understanding. These things were written for that intent purpose, and the people at the time were putting the two and two pieces of the puzzle together. This is Jesus. Do we know him? Yes, we know him. We're getting slightly distracted by where he comes from and where he was born and that he's a cop. But actually, we're putting the pieces of the puzzle together to see that he is the Messiah. So the question is this. Not where he was born. His origins, it's where he's come from and who sent him. That's the more important thing for us to learn. Let's carry on, because this is part two. So we've had the authority question, that was last week. This week we've had his origins questioned and clarified, and now we're moving on. Verse 32, the Pharisees heard the crowd muttering such things about him, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent temple police to arrest him. They knew exactly what he was claiming. That's why they plotted. Jesus then said, I will be with you a little while longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will search for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? You see, it's not just about where Jesus came from. It was also where he was going. The key to knowing Jesus is Jesus, and that he came to die. Now, John, I get you to flit all over the place. I apologize on occasions. Look with me at John 17. And I hope you're finding the pieces of puzzle put together. As you do the Lent course and you look at the I Am sayings, as you've been coming to these, we've been chronologically going through as fast as we can, and we're coming to this second part where it will be, well, the whole of John slows down. Second half of John, you'll notice, is in a week. It's the Passion Week. Everything slows down. For we've seen sign after sign after sign after sign after the great sign, which is his death and his resurrection. So John has slowed us down. It's as though all the other little signs are pointing to Jesus, Messiah. Messiah's coming. The Messiah is here. The Messiah is here. He is going to be the one who's great. And then you pause for the sign. That's where we're at, in the middle of John. We're not quite there yet in our chronology, but you'll see that the pieces of the puzzle fit together. Look at John 17, verse 3. And this helps us to centralize that knowing Jesus. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowing Jesus is the key. It's eternal life is about knowing Jesus. You know, in the beginning of the Bible, they knew Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They had relationship with Jesus. And we look for the day when we know Jesus. We walk with Jesus. But what this is saying is that's not there in the future. That's now. Eternal life is when? Is knowing God and knowing Jesus, whom he sent. Eternal life is now. Can you see the shift? So as we ask the question of knowing Jesus, I'm not asking you whether you will know Jesus, for every knee will bow one day in the future. I'm asking you whether you know Jesus now. That you know and believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the one sent by God and the one who came, as we will see, to go to a place that we can't follow. For he goes to the cross. Do we know this Jesus? Do we know him and do we live in the light of him revealing God the Father and in the light of him being the Saviour of the world? I said I'll pop back to Hugh and tell you about Hugh. If you read the stories, I've painted Hugh in a bit of a bad light. If you read what Hugh's been doing, let me read to you what it says in the Daily Mail. Here's one for Greg. He lost Hugh. Hugh went to prison. So it was about a year ago when we did this the sleepover. He lost 2 stone in weight and got a hold of a copy of Christopher Hitchens' God Is Not Great. Why? So he could discuss religion with extremists on his wing. If you read up about Hugh, partly he's trying to make the most of the advertising he's got, and also partly because he lent them his office to transfer. I don't know to what extent did he know that he was providing them the place that they were transferring, but he wasn't actually involved in the robbery at all. And he talks about how he knew the guys, and there was a sense in which he's just a good guy. If you read the articles, this plumber, as it were. So knowing Hugh, knowing him a little bit better as I do, I just know that he made a bad decision. Silly decisions. And his sentence is yet to be confirmed, unlike the others. But do we know Jesus? Do we know him? And when I say know him, I'm not just saying, do we know him as the carpenter, the historical man, the man who did miracles? We can know him as that. Do we know him as the great teacher? Do we know him as the one who can do miracles, and that's what we want at the moment? Maybe that's what we're praying for him to do. Do you like Jesus as the one who gave you a moral code? Do you like Jesus as the one who fits your expectations and does what you want to do when you want to do it? Or is distant enough to be left on Sunday? Knowing God is key. But knowing him one day a week on a Sunday morning, knowing him intellectually, is very different from the belief and the knowing that we get to see in John's Gospel. Jim Packer says this about actually how we should live our lives to know God. We are so cruel to ourselves if we try to live in this world without knowing about the God whose world it is and who runs it. The world's a strange, mad, painful place, and life is a disappointment and an unpleasant business for those who do not know about God, who disregard the study of God. If you do, you sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through life blindfold, as it were, with no sense of direction and no understanding of who surrounds you. This way you can waste your life and lose your soul. Knowing God should be very much what we are here to do. But not just knowing about him, but actually daily. Knowing him, believing him, trusting him, living for him, delighting in him. As the Word, as the light, as the bread, as the truth, as the resurrection. But ultimately, as the one who went to the cross, the place that we could not go to follow him, for he will die in our place. So let me leave you just with a challenge. If you finish the sentence, Jesus for me is, or I want Jesus to be for me, I wonder what you'd stick in there. Comforter, healer, I want Jesus to be my counselor, my friend. Let me ask you, we need to put all of those things together. We need Jesus to be our Savior as well. For as we will see in Easter, that actually we need to grasp fully and increasingly so that he came to put right the sin and the rebellion in our hearts, each and every one of us. And so he went to the cross as the Father sent him to die in our place. So let's live our week speaking to those that we meet, pointing them to Jesus, the healer, pointing them to Jesus, the comforter, pointing them to Jesus, the great inspiration and moral teacher. But let's ultimately never forget to point them to Jesus, the one who came to die on the cross. And that actually they need to know this Jesus. They were born to know this Jesus. And their life wouldn't be life in its fullness unless they have a friendship and a restored relationship with God and Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. As we understand more of Jesus through this gospel, help us to grasp the enormity of the Messiah who came to die. As we gear up to Palm Sunday and we gear up to Holy Week, we see the shadow of the cross looming over. We're reminded we are sinners and need a Savior. May we leave from here, speaking and delighting in, telling others about the Messiah who came to die, that others may come to believe too, and that we would honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.